Father, we join our hearts with those around the globe who have been worshiping for hours before us and will worship for hours after us, worshiping you, Christians, living in a world that finds us hateful. Let us never be hateful, Father. Let us always be faithful stewards of the Christian faith. And so it is that we come to you now and we ask you to give us wisdom. Give us understanding as we seek to be true imprints of what it is to be a Christian. What it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, as Savior. We thank you for all of your provision, Father, that you have given to us, including fellowship of the saints. What a joyous thing. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. Lead us now in worship, Father. Open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to your word as your Spirit moves amongst us. Guide us in what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. And may it always be, Father, to your glory and yours alone. For we ask it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, and all of God's children say, amen, amen and amen. Please join me with me as you are seated and I'm seated, and we will continue our pursuit of what is biblical eldership. What does it mean for the church to have governance? What is the governing of the church? And what is biblical eldership? Now, we have to be careful here, and it's strange because it's so simple. It is just so realistic what we have scripturally. How do we define biblical eldership? And we're looking for elders for here. What is God doing with Mogador? We'll have to come down pretty soon. He'll have to start showing his hand. What's he intend to do? And I would remind you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that biblical eldership is based on something. Our understanding what it is to have governance in the church, to understand what is biblical eldership, is based on a solid foundation. And that solid foundation is the teachings of the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus. What did he teach the apostles? What did the apostles teach us? What Jesus taught. And we've been looking at some of the things Jesus is saying. Scripture. And we see the reality of humility. All humility. We see the idea of servanthood. Not I want to be boss. I will be servant. Servanthood. The concept of we are one. Brotherly equality. I'm better than you. No, no. We're one. All born again, washed in the blood of Christ, saved by grace and faith. And we see the idea in Scripture and being taught to us through the Word of God of what Christ-like love looks like. What is Christ-like love? We've looked at the teachings of Paul as he teaches the Ephesian elders. And you might remember, I'll not read the whole section, but in Acts 20, where in verse 28 he says, pay careful attention to what? Why are you drawing this here? Pay careful attention. Well, what am I supposed to really pay attention to? Yourselves. Yourselves. He's talking to the elders. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all of the flock. Notice something. How simple is this? How absolutely logical and simple this is. And he refers again to what we've looked at, to the church of Christ. You are us, the body of believers, as the flock of God. Acts 20:28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. We want to ask some questions, and I'm asking questions. Let's ask this question. According to the New Testament, what we see in the scriptures in the New Testament, who is responsible to pastor the local church? Who is responsible for the shepherding of the flock of God? And keep that image. This is the image the Bible wants us to have. A flock of sheep. Teaches us mountains of things. Both Paul and Peter, you know, answer this question, who's responsible to pastor the local church? Peter and Paul both answer the question, and they both charge those who are called elders. And we use the term, and I want to focus on the term, because, you know, you can get, oh, let's get into breaking down nouns and verbs. And yeah, that's cool. But I think it's far simpler here. I think it's amazingly simple. Both Paul and Peter charge the elders of the church to do something. Listen now, careful. To shepherd. That's it. Go in peace. To shepherd. Have you not thought about that? How that takes such a bundle of ideas and concepts and brings it right down to where we can say, oh, I see what you're saying. To shepherd. Repeatedly we see that image brought forward in Scripture. To shepherd. And what an interesting image it is. To shepherd the church of God. The elders and the apostles, they don't give this charge to anyone else. They don't give this charge to shepherd to the deacons. Well, deacons are important in their aid to the elders. We'll talk about that probably next week, week after, I think. We'll talk about the call of the deacon. He doesn't give the charge of shepherding to the deacons. He doesn't give the charge of shepherding the church. Shepherding, keep the image, shepherd. It's not for staff members. The responsibility to oversee and to shepherd the local church, the assembly, the flock of God. That responsibility of shepherding, there's the image, shepherding, was given to church elders, scripturally. And by this we see that the pastoral leadership of the local church is the responsibility of the elders. The leadership, the care, don't make it something else, of God's sheep. There's the image. Shepherds. The pastoral leadership of God's flock is the responsibility of a plurality of elders, spirit appointed, spirit called, scripturally qualified elders. And when we bring together two things, it begins to come into focus. When we bring together these two things, what is the task? What is the task given to the elders by the apostles? What is their job? And combine that task with the biblical qualifications required of elders. Stop right there. It's not complicated. The scriptures lay it out so any one of the kids in this sanctuary could understand it. What are the biblical qualifications required of an elder? shepherd the flock. Shepherd. We can be sure that we have an accurate picture of a biblical eldership when we draw those two things together, the call and the requirements. You know, if we allow the scriptures to guide us, there should be no confusion over this question, who the elders are. And if we let the word of God guide us, there is no confusion over not only who the elders are, they'll show up. God does that. We don't do that. And the scripture will lead us in an understanding of what the elders are supposed to do. What is the simple form? Boy, the scriptures make it very simple. You know, it's so simple, we make it hard. It ain't hard. The image is perfect. And so let's turn to the Word of God. Let's go to the Word of God for our instruction and pay careful attention. Don't by trying to do, oh, let's get hard. No, it's so simple. So obvious. So real. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I simply quote this 16th and 17th verse. Because Paul instructs his little protege, Timothy, and he says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. What is the word of God profitable for? For teaching, for reproof, Paul writes, for correction, for attaining or training in righteousness. For teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And now, in utter simplicity, in amazing simplicity, so simple we try to muddy the water with a lot of silliness. How simple is this? Scripture gives to you and I the perfect image of the church in a simple form. A very simple form that a child could understand it. And it's not 20th century or 21st century image. It's a first century image. It's an Old Testament image. And it's an image that shouts at us. It goes this way. You might recognize it. Listen. See what you can glean from this, and then I'll guide you a little. Hear the word of God. I think you'll all know where it is when I read it. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. And the image explodes. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. Because I'm one smart sheep? Because the shepherd's here. I need food, he'll lead me to food. I need water, he'll lead me to water. I need safety, he will protect and guide. The Lord, there's the imagery. Shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He knows what I need. I'm just a lamb's sheep are stupid. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the literal translation, valley of the darkest shadows, I will fear no evil. Why? The shepherd's with me! He brought me here! He loves me. The image of a shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the darkest shadows, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why? There it is. For you are with me. You've got a rod for my protection, a staff for my direction, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me once we're clear of the danger of my enemies. Oh no, wait a minute. No, don't say that. You prepare a table before me, careful, in the very presence of mine enemies. They want to kill me! Sit down and eat. Sounds like my mom. You need to eat. Have lunch. They're going to beat me up. I don't think so. A table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for several months after my death. No, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd image. Do you see it? The Bible gives us a great image of sheep and shepherd, and teaches us volumes. But we go la la darling, la, 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 la. No, slow down. Don't try to be so smart. Be real. Do you remember what John writes, what we see the words of Christ as John writes in the 10th chapter of his gospel? The wonderful words of our Lord. I just get hung up on these words all the time. You need to hear again what Jesus taught. These are the teachings of Jesus. What do you hear? John 10, I'll read the first 18 verses. For those who have ears to hear, for the sheep, hear the word of your shepherd. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. There's only one way into the sheepfold. We've covered this in Bible studies. You come by the door, and the door is the shepherd. He blocks entrance overnight so nothing gets to the sheep. That's how it's set up. You want to get to the sheep, you got to go right over the shepherd. It's called the door. And no good shepherd is going to let an enemy of the sheep in. He does not do that. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door, he who comes by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep, shepherd. And to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep. Listen now, careful, here it is. It's going to come at us, and it's not difficult. The sheep, listen, listen. Hear his voice. That's it. How often are your children calmed by hearing your voice? Dad, mom, mom, dad, they're here. I can hear them. I can hear them. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Stop, stop, stop. Look carefully. Don't try to dig something that's not there. It's clear. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. The sheep follow him. Listen, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's all it takes. We hear him. He's here. Countless times, laying in hospital beds in the last 6 years, I wait to hear this voice. Maybe out of my mind with other things, but I hear that voice and I go to sleep. We hear his voice. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from a stranger. Why? Why? They do not know the voice of a stranger. You hear the voice of your shepherd, elders, and you're at peace. They do not know the voice of a stranger, and they will not follow the voice, but they will flee from that. This figure of speech, verse 6 says, Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, that's a bang, bang, this is real, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. It's not my master's voice. I don't listen. Do you want your kids following every man who speaks to them, or just their dad? First and foremost, dad. Not everybody who wants to talk. No. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But, I love but, the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says then again, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. There's the image. I know my own. I know mine. Wow! Wait for this. I know my own, and my own know me. That's verse 14. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them as well. And they will hear it again. They will listen to my voice. Lots of voices out there, but only one I'll listen to. Elders. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down. Catch this. of my own accord, because I choose to. Elders, because I choose to, of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. You're the shepherd. And I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Do you see what he said? The image? Catch the image. I am the good what? Shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we are his beloved sheep. That's what John 10:11 says. So when telling the elders to lead the church, both the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter employ that very same image. What's the image they use? Flock. A group of sheep and a shepherd. And we're looking at the shepherd and saying, what are the qualifications for that? What makes him a shepherd? What are we looking at? What is a shepherd characterized by? I think this is where it falls apart in my lifetime and is falling apart today in the church. Shepherding involves intimacy, tenderness, real concern, valid skill, God-given skill, hard work, and Scripture makes clear, suffering, and love. Shepherding is a blend of authority and of care, and as much toughness and tenderness as much courage and comfort. And we look at the work of a shepherd, like real shepherds in the field. Church elders need to be fully invested in the complete work of shepherding God's people. Shepherds, that image that is given to us, are not a board of directors. That's not the image. It's what we've fallen into, sadly. It's not a board of directors making decisions, letting others do the work. That's not shepherding. That's not what we're looking at. They are to be shepherds. And what is it that is? This is so simple. What is clearly true about shepherd? They don't mail it in. You've got to be there. You've got to be among the sheep. You've got to be there, feeding, guiding, lovingly caring for the people's needs. This is shepherd leadership. This is what the apostles called the elders to do, because people are like sheep. The work of spiritual leadership is still the same. It's exactly identical. It is such a perfect image. The work of spiritual leadership is the same as tending sheep. Feeding, leading, protecting God's flock. Shepherds, sheep. And the teaching keeps rolling at us from Scripture. Shepherd, sheep, expressions is the terminology of the Scriptures. And I would say, since it's so prevalent in the Word to describe it, we are wise to stay with those very biblical concepts and those biblical teachings and metaphors that we see in the Word. The imagery of shepherding a flock teaches some very interesting concepts, but not hard concepts to grasp. The imagery of shepherding a flock teaches concepts that are easy and not easy. And here's the first one. You got to be there. You got to be there. Do you love the Church of Christ? Then why do you leave them every 3 years? That's what we're told. 3.5-4 years average pastor will stay. That's okay, because 3.5-4 years is what the average church member stays. Is that what you see in Scripture? I've told you before, historically, if we go back to colonial times, right in America, the relationship between a pastor and his church was considered on the same grounds as a marriage. We're in this for the rest of our lives. How good is a marriage if you're constantly wondering if the person's going to be there? Maybe. I'll see how I feel tomorrow. Really? Well, if it gets tough, I'm out of here. Really? Is that the image of a shepherd? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If wolves show up and there's more than one, I'm out of here. Really? Do you remember David when he gave the reason why he could take on Goliath? Goliath, who was, I once measured it out, as tall as that crossbeam. That's a big guy. That, we need him on the Bills. That would be a good linebacker. Shepherd. And remember when David said, send me out after Goliath, I'll take him. Everybody else backing off saying, well, I'm very busy. I've got things to do. And David says, whenever anything threatens the sheep, I take it on. I think we hear more of this. Whenever anything gets tough, that's when I leave. Really? Really? The image of shepherding a flock teaches this concept. You've got to be there. Presence, not Christmas presence. Being there. Through thick, through thin, through hell and high water, through trials and tribulations, I will be there. How good is a marriage vow if it states, as soon as it gets tough, I'm out of here? Then your vow is worthless. As soon as the going gets tough, I'm going the easy way. That's not shepherds. Isn't that clear? The shepherd must be there. And the most intriguing feature of shepherding is the shepherd's personal presence. He's got to be among the sheep. That's where he belongs. Sunny days, rainy days. Good times, bad times. The shepherd is there. Does your Lord come and go based on how he feels? Or is he always there? The pattern we see in Scripture between the shepherd and the flock is a highly relational pattern. And what it shows is personalized care. The bond that says this, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here. I remember I'd been in and out of the hospital and had many major surgeries over the last 6 years. And during that time was COVID, when Betsy wasn't allowed in. And I remember one surgery that I had where they were assigning nurses because of the spread of COVID. So you stayed one patient, one nurse, through the process of the whole surgery. And I've told the story before, and she introduced herself, and they asked the questions they always ask, what do you do for a living? And I say, I'm a minister. They either run away or they run towards you. And the one assigned to me ran towards me. She said, where's your church? I said, Moncador. She said, never heard of it. I said, no, nobody has. Don't worry about it. She took care of me. She did what Betsy would have done. She took my hand. She said, would it be okay if I prayed? She was a sister. There's a divine appointment. I didn't have my wife, but I had a sister in Christ. And I was expecting a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. You can judge. But it wasn't. She grabbed my hand, came close to my ear, began to pray. Real prayer. And then she finished with these words. I'll be here when you come out. And she was. Rubbing my hand because I had a spinal. She's massaging my hand and said, told you I would be here. You're here. That's my God. That's the image of a shepherd. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here. The shepherd and his flock form a close bond. That bond is so close that the scriptures tells us the sheep know his voice. I might be under sedation, but I hear the voice I want to hear. And I have peace. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. But that's not the whole story. The shepherd knows my name. The intimacy. What's the first rule for a shepherd? You gotta be there. Oh, I'll be here for a couple of years. Uh-uh. I think that's why the church is so weak. Not a big church. Look what we've got. We influencing the culture? I don't think so. Not much. And when we try to, we do it wrong. We can't stay with people. We keep moving. Beloved, I'm here to tell you what Scripture says. Your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not move on. He stays. And shepherds of the flock, under shepherds, they stay. They're here. They know the sheep, and the sheep know them. Remember in John 10, 4 and 5, it simply says this. I read it already. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Do you know why it says that, John 10, 4? The sheep follow him. Why do the sheep follow him? Because he's brilliant? No. Because he owns a bank? No. He's a powerful man? No. They know his voice. That's what it says, verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. Come on out now, Dad. Make a clicking noise. That's what they do. I've seen it. With small sheep, little herds, I've told you. And you know why the sheep follow him? Because they know his voice. I told you when we went to Upper Beth Horon, I wanted to look down and see how you could kill off a whole group, army group. That's a whole different story, but And we went off the track and we came across this shepherd with maybe 20, 30 sheep. Took him by surprise, brought six of us hiking. And all he did was go and started walking east. We were coming from the east, he started walking north. In the wilderness, just go. And all his little flock, that's all it took. They followed him. Instantly. Instantly. They all just got up. He didn't look to see if they... He walked away, and they were walking behind him. You know why? For when he brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? They know his voice. But that's not the end of it. There's more. And I think it speaks volumes. A stranger they will not follow. Why? They won't follow a stranger. What if I had walked up? We were walking up. What if I went? They would have just kept following the shepherd. Not me. They probably would have gotten beat up by a shepherd, but they didn't want that. A stranger they will not follow. Well, what will they do with a stranger? They will flee from him. They'll run away. Why? What are we losing in the church? Well, we'll stay a couple of years maybe and then move on. We've got to... No, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. They will flee from him. Do you know why? Verse 5 says it. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee. Flee. That's not walk away. It's get out of there. And here's the reason. Listen, it's not rocket science. For they do not know. What? For they do not know the voice of strangers. Every 3 years, we're going to switch, and you're going to hear new theology. And a lot of it is foolishness. But it's what you want. There's something else. Can't tell you how many times I've heard people, 55 years here. So a lot of people say, oh, we love Mogador. Oh, what a great, oh, they had, oh, blah, 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 blah. And always, when they're done, blah, 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 blahing about it. And I don't mean to be ugly here, but I always turn to Betsy and say, Mogador is the best church in the world. Didn't you hear her say that? Or him? Yeah. And then I say, and yet, they left. And yet, they left. What's going on here? What's going on here? I get phone calls, people say, people who have left the church. Said, our pastor said this or that. Is that right? And I want to say, why are you calling me? Ask your pastor. Well, I think he's wrong on this. Could you? And then I hear the word. I've always considered you my pastor. And yet, you left. But I don't consider you my parishioner. You're not one of my sheep. Take care of business. You wanted something else. Youth group, music, blah, 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 blah. And then said, but I'm not sure I'm getting good teaching. What you didn't want was good teaching. Too blunt? Shepherds lead you and feed you and water you. And they're there. Good shepherds do that. Strangers they will not follow, but they will flee from him. Why? For they do not know the voice of strangers. I love the 27th verse of John 10. We read it already. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I love that. I hear his voice, and I'm at peace. God is here. He knows me. I know them. And they follow me. And they follow me. Do you hear it? The simplicity of it. What's the first rule of an elder, a leader of the flock? You gotta be there. You gotta be there. Good times, bad times. They like you, they don't like you. They want to get rid of you. Let them get rid of you if they can. You be there. But it's hard. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. But if you're an elder, be an elder. And the first rule of a shepherd, poimenos, that's what you are, is you got to be there. It's presence. But then I take that a step further, but I got to stop. But I think about something else. How intimate exactly does this relationship get? You live together, you serve together, you are together, through good times and bad, through rain, through storms, through trials and tribulations. You grow together. One of the things I noticed, you remember when I shared with you, we ran into in the Negev down south in Israel hiking, a bunch of us, we ran into a Bedouin with his little flock, his daughter and his son, taking care of little pieces of the flock that we came up against. And about from here to the bridge on a little rise was Papa. You could see him. He was ready to come down pretty fast, about as far as the bridge is. And the kids were begging. Remember I told you, shekel, 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 showing us their sheep. Showing us the sheep. And the little girl and the little boy, they want money. Well, you get to pet their sheep, and you say, and there's a dozen of us maybe, and say, oh, this is nice, and we're interacting, and they want shekels. And you realize something. Shoot, cute little sheep, little girl's arms, little boy's arms, daddy's watching. Sheep smell. Sheep have an odor. That's not my point. My point is this. The shepherd even smells like the sheep. The shepherd even smells like his sheep. And so the sheep always know the shepherd's present because he smells like them. They can smell him. And when the shepherd is present, the sheep, they rest comfortably. He's not going anywhere. He's not leaving us. He won't abandon us. The shepherd is present, and the sheep can rest comfortably and feed in peace. You can feed in peace and water in peace and rest in green grass in peace because the shepherd is there. Leaders of the church, elders, under shepherds, you cannot be absent. You cannot be invisible and be a good shepherd at the same time. Your constant, consistent presence with the sheep is just a reality to your work of shepherding. And so what does Scripture teach us? Do not be an invisible elder. You need to think more about how your example can shape the lives of others for Christ. And you recognize this, one of the reasons I want the kids in church. You influence people spiritually. Can you tell me Let's start backwards. What we're finding now in the church is that after sixth grade, we lose the kids. It's not rocket science. From birth until they go into seventh grade, we meet them at the door and we take them downstairs so they're not in church bothering us. They don't know how to worship. They don't know anything about worship. They don't know what the church is. Then we say, get upstairs! And they're adolescents now. And they say, I don't want to do this. You never trained them. You coddled them for your own benefit. Is that shepherding? You influence people spiritually. Your personal life example is central to your leadership. You are to be what Peter said back when we were doing chapter 5 of 1 Peter. And in the third verse he says this, and I'll close with this. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Not domineering over those in your charge. Do this! But being examples to the flock. How do your children learn to worship when they're downstairs playing basketball, coloring, doing whatever? Do you not see how they're watching you, learning the creeds and confessions, praying together, singing hymns, learning them, being taught doctrine? Is that not important? Is that not the work? But there's more. There's something else. And I'm not so sure if you're leaving every 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, that this is true. But I think what we'll see next week, we'll talk about this next week. The first characteristic of an elder is you got to be there. You got to be there. You can't phone it in. For how long? Well, I'm of the opinion, I could be wrong, I'm not pounding my fist on the table saying this has got to be, but I think for the rest of your life. And I think that brings me to the second thing. You have to be there. But you know why you're there? I'll tell you why. Because you love them. Because you love them. You love them and hate them at the same time. Because you love the people. Because you love the sheep. The shepherd must love the sheep if he is to succeed in caring for the sheep. And if you're an elder, you must love God's sheep. You must love the Lord's people. I mean love. Love is indispensable to all that you say, to all that you do, as a shepherd leader. Remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. These are strong words. The love chapter. Do you remember the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13? Let me just read the first three verses for you. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, what am I? I am a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. Just noise. And if I have, verse 2, prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, not only am I just a noisy cymbal, now it gets uglier. I'm nothing. Nothing? Third verse, if I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. You gotta be there, and you gotta love them. And if you don't love them, you're not an elder. And I can hear people saying, well, I'm sure not. That's what I say. And if you say, I can do that, you're not the person. That tends towards braggadocious. It scares me to have to think this and be this way, to be here and love them, to love them. But that's not all. Scripture in that imagery talks about other things, like feeding them and practical things like that, which we'll talk about. What are the qualifications? Well, first and foremost, you got to be present. And you got to love them. And they deserve hate sometimes. They deserve some nastiness sometimes. Sheep can be ugly. But you got to love them. You got to love them. The body of Christ, the children of God, the flock of God. Father, this scares us. This makes us all want to just turn around and walk away. And yet there is a reality fired by your Spirit that says to us, you know this is true. You know it's true, it's in the Word. And you have seen the example of it over and over and over again. And you have seen the example of it in the work of Christ to take on humanity, my sin, to die for me on that cross. The reality of His presence and of His love. Strengthen us, Father, in our resolve, in our purpose, and teach us. You are our Father, our Lord, our God. You have set us together, not by chance. No, this is not chance. This is by a sovereign hand. Every church is. Every local congregation is by a sovereign hand. We rejoice in your constant care, your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and the joy you give to us in the name of our Savior, in whose name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen and amen.